taken from the center's grounds on Wednesday, September 19th from 6 to 7 p.m. Free and open to the public. Visit riverbendracine.org.
This is WGTD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, a program designed to help you navigate computer technology and the Internet. The show is hosted by Felicia King of Quality Plus Consulting and airs the first and third Saturdays of every month.
Good morning. You're listening to Breakfast Bites, and I'm Felicia King. Today's show is going to be about the latest in HTTPS security ciphers and protocols and what it means to you simply browsing the Internet. And then we'll talk about Google is now having access to MasterCard data, and what does that mean? So potentially I'll talk about the DNS rebinding attacks, and then maybe we'll talk about computer speed optimization performance topics. Okay, so let's get started on this whole TLS topic, because TLS and HTTPS, because this is the hot thing right now. And when I mean the hot thing, it's the thing that's affecting everybody. So I think in order to first understand any of this, you have to have quite a lot of background. So that's where I'm going to start, is the background on this. There's, of course, the National Institutes of Standards and Technology that you know about. These are the people that keep track of the atomic clock. Well, they also happen to be the people that have been defining in written format the national, and therefore very impactfully on the international, security standards for information technology for in excess for the last 30 years. You know, I mean, literally ever since the beginning of the internet. There is specifically something called the NIST SP800 set of guidelines. These guidelines very clearly define what cybersecurity quality controls and security practices are. And it's very detailed. And I think it's pretty much representative of the gold standard. They do a pretty good job of staying up to date on things. Now, these NIST standards then impact everything, as well they should, because we have to have some standards. People have to be operating off of a similar baseline if they're going to be doing security. So back in the early 2014 timeframe, so more than 4 years ago, NIST published guidelines that stated that TLS 1.0 was an insecure security protocol and should be deprecated. Now, deprecated means that it should be ceased to be used, and deprecated effectively meaning no longer valid, meaning stop using it. It's pretty clear guidance. So we're talking about in excess of 4 years ago, this was the guidance. Now, TLS is a security protocol. Now, there are security ciphers such as AES, triple DES, MD5, SHA-1, SHA-2, and the latest one, GCM. Now, the DoD recently came out and stated that the only security cipher that they thought was secure enough was GCM. So this is the DoD. And if the DoD is saying that, that's pretty good guidance that says, gee, you should probably stop using the other things and just switch to GCM and be done with it. Okay, so what I'm saying about all of this is that these governmental agencies provide fairly decent guidance. It's just that everyone needs to get off their duff and do their part to increase the security of all the systems that they manage. And this seems to be harder for a lot of people than what I think it should be. And what that ends up doing is adversely impacting everyone who are users of these systems. These are the people that connect to these systems. So if the people who administer the systems would simply keep the security upgraded, everyone would have much better security. So there's kind of this push-pull contrast, because You have people like myself who are trying to secure things at the network layer. We obviously keep on top of the security of the systems that we manage, IIS being a great example of that. Let's say you have a website that you're managing, or you're managing a remote desktop server that, of course, has certificates. There are some very straightforward tools that you can utilize in order to harden either websites or harden IIS as a system, as a platform. There are ways to harden Apache as a platform. But these things have to be done, and they have to be done proactively, and you have to care to do that. And I think y'all know I deal with an excess of 200 networks on a regular basis. And what I can tell you is that I am disgusted by what I see as an extensive pattern of people managing systems that just don't seem to care about security, whether we're talking about healthcare systems where these are electronic medical records, EMR systems with Epic, for example, and other systems like pharmacy applications, which of course has protected health information in it. And these systems are not being kept up to date with regards to the use of security ciphers and security protocols. Okay, so I want to take a step back. Now, I've given you kind of some high level on that. Let's take a step back and do some more detail on what is this HTTPS TLS stuff and what's going on with it recently. So HTTPS is port 443. It is the baseline application layer network componentry that says, so it's a port and a protocol basically that says anything transmitted over HTTPS is supposed to be encapsulated in a secure tunnel. And then when you dig deeper into that, you get into the security protocol. So in this case, let's talk about TLS. TLS, like other security protocols, has different versions. SSL had different versions as well. In fact, this terminology SSL is still used when in reality we don't use SSL anymore. We're now using TLS. So TLS is a better security protocol. Google Chrome, in roughly May, June timeframe this year, upgraded its functionality to say, you know, we're going to prefer TLS 1.3. And so if you're trying to access content that's hosted on old insecure browsers or old insecure web servers or presented in an old insecure way, we're going to warn you as an end user of that service that this is probably insecure, bad doo-doo, and you shouldn't be touching it. So I applaud those sorts of efforts. And then what has happened since then is that Firefox has done something very similar and Microsoft Edge has done something very similar. So actually, I think the developers that are managing the browsers are doing about as good of a job as they possibly could in order to provide end users the information that they need to discern whether or not something is being hosted in a secure way. So, you know, big kudos to that. And then in June of 2016 or 2018, the payment card industry finally, and I mean finally, came out with these requirements of saying you can no longer present content over TLS 1.0. And remember, I said that TLS 1.0 has been specified for deprecation as far back as April 2014. So we've known for more than 4 years that TLS 1.0 should not be used. Finally, 4 years later, the payment card industry says, okay, that's it. You can't be PCI compliant anymore if you're going to use TLS 1.0. So the security appliance manufacturers such as WatchGuard, they implemented functionality that enables us at the network layer to enforce compliance. So that's a big deal. It's good. And I'm going to tell you the implications of that. But first, again, another comparative point, we need to get an idea about how long these people who manage these systems have had an opportunity to update their TLS capabilities and to get off of these old, dead, deprecated security protocols. So again, the NIST said, roughly April 2014, get off of TLS 1.0 and start using newer versions of TLS. And then in May-June timeframe this year, Google Chrome said, okay, we're going to support TLS 1.3 preferentially. Now, Microsoft has been stating for more than a year that they were going to stop supporting TLS 1.1. And they've recently, as of about 7 days ago, said, okay, that's it. October, November this year, which is 2018, we're only going to support TLS 1.2. And if you're trying to use old stuff, older than that, you know, too bad, so sad. And again, I agree with that. You have to get off of old, insecure protocols if the presumption is, if the end users who are using these systems have the presumption that these systems are secure in their ability to communicate effectively. So if the people who are managing these systems don't upgrade and don't enforce compliance with reasonable security standards, then that's effectively violating the trust that all the people who use these systems have placed in the administrators of the systems. All right, so we have this baseline of understanding that we know that TLS 1.0 has been old poo-poo for a long time, more than 4 years. No one has any excuse for running anything over TLS 1.0 at this point. I mean, in my opinion, I think it's egregiously inappropriate that they would be using old crud. Now, I want to give you another kind of comparison point to this as well, as to how big of an issue this is. So last October, a client of ours was going to utilize some services from a very huge company for some hosting. And we needed to set up a VPN tunnel to this provider. So the head of network security at this massive $500 million a year company goes and sends me this documentation that says, we want you to set up a VPN to our stuff and utilize these protocols. So I go and I review this and I was appalled. So here's the head of network security for a $500 million a year company. And he's sending me documentation that utilizes not one, not two, but three long-time deprecated security ciphers and security protocols. I tell you this because you have to understand that the size of the company has no bearing whatsoever on the quality or the skill of their security. Could I make an argument that Google has their stuff together with regards to staying compliant with the appropriate levels of security ciphers and protocols? Yes, absolutely, I can make that argument. You can say the same thing with Microsoft and with WatchGuard and with any like really hardcore technical company. I mean, certainly if you visit the QualityPlusConsulting.com website, you'll find that, yes, indeed, we are TLS 1.2 compliant. Okay. So it's not hard. I don't think it's hard to maintain the security of the system, but somebody has to care. So again, back to this whole story of this $500 million a year company, and the head of network security is telling me to use old, ancient, deprecated algorithms. I mean, in one case, one of these ciphers that he was telling me to use had been deprecated for a decade. So I emailed him back and I said, you know, I'm sorry, from a liability perspective, I can't touch this. I'm not going to do that because setting up this in the way that you want it to be set up would be an absolute fiduciary violation of the trust that the clients have put in our company in order to ensure that their stuff is not going to be compromised. We can't be using deprecated security protocols, ciphers, and algorithms. It's just not going to happen. So the guy takes like 30 days to respond back to my email, and he finally responds back and says, okay, that's fine. Use whatever you want, and we'll just match your settings. Okay, that's great. So then I went and set up what I wanted to use and sent it over to him, and yes, he matched the settings, and it was fine. So, you know, there's two pieces of information you got to take out of that lesson, which is that, number one, the size of the company has no bearing whatsoever as to whether or not they're doing security properly, right? So don't ever get sucked into that idea that because it's a big company, they must be doing security properly. Because I can tell you about Epic providers for electronic medical records that they are not even TLS 1.1 compliant. They are still running stuff over TLS 1.0. The state of Wisconsin runs stuff over TLS 1.0. I know, I just saw it earlier this week. They're still running stuff over TLS 1.0. And that's the state of Wisconsin, who's clearly, you know, a huge player. You know, and I can tell you about pharmacy providers, pharmacy benefits, pharmacy systems that are running over TLS 1.0. So back to the TLS bit with regards to the latest compliance enforcement mechanisms and how that impacts you. So the payment card industry changed to say we are going to have minimum requirements of TLS 1.1, which, you know, is still old, because TLS 1.2 is really, in Microsoft's viewpoint, the bare minimum required now, and I would agree with that. So at the network layer, we want to enforce minimum compliance standards. If we've known that TLS 1.0 is completely old, insecure, deprecated, okay, we have to have some enforcement mechanism that says, if you're trying to use TLS 1.0, too bad, so sad, not gonna happen. We're not going to allow that. We're going to at least mandate minimum compliance requirements of TLS 1.1. Well, ever since putting that into place, I have encountered things that are not compliant, of course. That's what was going to happen. And it's interesting to see a variety of reactions to this. You certainly have places like the state of Wisconsin who, well, they're not going to upgrade anything. So, you know, you just have to decide, are you going to use their system outside of TLS 1.1 minimum compliance requirements or not? Because they're not upgrading. But then you look at something like Google Earth. Old versions of Google Earth were not TLS 1.1 minimum compliant. So if you go out and get the latest and greatest version of Google Earth and you install that, oh, it's totally fine. It's TLS 1.2 compliant. So there are approaches that you can take to this, which is, wow, okay, this thing is not compliant. Is it upgraded? And should I upgrade it? I know of a company that was using a software package that integrates its service, basically. It's called X-Inc, is what it is. And it integrates into Outlook. And that integration is for fancy email signatures. So here's X-Inc, which is a technology company. Do you think their stuff was TLS 1.1 compliant? Nope. It was not. So here's a technology company, X-Inc. They're supposed to be, you know, highfalutin fancy pants developers. They're not compliant. So the appropriate course of action when you see something like that is to go reach out to the company and say, come on now, you need to be at a minimum TLS 1.1 compliant. Go fix your stuff. I mean, it's completely unacceptable that your stuff is using old invalid protocols now because you've had more than 4 years to know that your stuff needed to be upgraded, which what that actually suggests is that there's nobody at that company that has a process in place to keep these things updated on a regular basis. And that's the absolutely scaringly shocking component of this, is that you're doing business with a security company and you think that they're keeping their stuff up to date when inspection tells you otherwise. And then there's, of course, a ton of Internet of Things devices like temperature sensors that are not up to date. I could tell you about another security, or not necessarily a security company, but a technology company that purports to have secure stuff. So let's talk about two of them. One is TeamViewer, one is Dameware. Dameware is a product that is used for remote control access to systems on a large scale. Well, you would presume that that would need to be pretty darn secure, right? Because if it's allowing remote access into systems, boy, that better be secure. But yet, they're not even TLS 1.1 compliant. Seriously. And when you see something like that, I think you have to ask the question, wow, is that really the product that we want to use? Because if they've had more than 4 years to get their stuff up to date and compliant, and yet they haven't, that's pretty scary poo-poo right there. To me, I would just stop using that. I wouldn't use it at all. I'd say, that's it. You don't meet requirements of being a company that's taking security seriously. You could take TeamViewer as in contrast. TeamViewer, all of their stuff, it's always been compliant. And I expect it always will be compliant because they obviously have processes in place to where their stuff is being kept up to date all the time. I mean, it's highly maintained, it's highly resilient, and it's highly secure. So this has to be a component of your decision-making process as to what companies you're choosing to do business with. And I'm going to extend that then into the VPN space. Let's talk about that for a little bit. We talked about how the DoD has specified that GCM ciphers are the only ciphers now that are considered to be secure enough. So is your local IT consulting firm, your local IT support, are they keeping all of your things up to date? Are they touching these VPN clients? Are they touching the VPN encryption and cipher settings as these standards change? I'm going to be very blunt with you. I would guess that 99% of them are not, because the vast, vast, vast majority of IT consulting firms do not have a security architect on staff. And, you know, you might run into a security architect of that quality in a Fortune 500 company, but in terms of local consulting, it's extremely rare to find somebody that even has awareness of these things and then has the guts to change the security ciphers. So I recently ran into a situation where somebody was using L2TP when that is really not the greatest option out there. And they were too chicken to tell me, and actually that's an insult to chickens. They were too cowardly to tell me what these security ciphers were that they were using on this L2TP VPN connection that they had put in place for their clientele. And I think that was occurring simply because they did not want to be confronted on the deprecated status of the security ciphers that they're using. You know, triple DES, SHA-1, MD5, all deprecated. Could you continue to use SHA-2/512? Probably, but again, DoD has stated you should be using GCM ciphers at this point. And probably GCM 256. So what we at QPC do for all of our clients is we do maintain all of that. So as those requirements changed, as that governmental guidance changed, we went out and proactively managed all of the appliances and modified not only branch office VPN tunnels, but also mobile user VPN connections, and modified all of these to ensure that they were using compliant and up-to-date, the most secure ciphers and protocols possible to be used. And of course, these changes are communicated to the client so that they are aware as, you know, as to what's going on. But I keep running into companies, and I'd say it's the vast majority of them, that do not have any process in place for this. Here's a great example. Do you remember that provider I told you about, that hosted service provider who their top network security guy had told me to use these deprecated security algorithms. Okay. Now, if he really had his game on, wouldn't he be proactively reaching out to me and saying, hey, we're upgrading all of the VPN connections to use GCM ciphers. We'd like to schedule a time for this change, and we'd like you to use the GCM ciphers because, well, that's what the DoD says is required now. Do you think I got any proactive communication from them about that? Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. They are completely happy to disregard the communications, the supposedly protected communications, the security of their clientele. They are completely happy to ignore that because it would cost them time and therefore money on an uncompensated basis to maintain, well, at least from their perspective, an uncompensated basis, even though they're charging for managed services. So from their perspective, it's a support ticket that doesn't need to happen. And the part that I'm continually disgusted by in the IT consulting industry in general and the IT services industry is that entirely too much of the thought process of a lot of IT people is that dominates. It's like, well, nobody's putting in a support ticket for this. You know, our clientele are not demanding these things. Well, you know, the reality is the relationship you have with your clientele is you're supposed to be the expert and they are relying upon you to tell you, to tell them the things that they don't know. They're relying upon you. They're in that relationship with you so that you can be proactive about securing their things. But again, I'm going to be blunt. I don't see this happening from the vast majority of firms. They're not taking a proactive approach. I know this because I interact with a whole bunch of them all the time. As I said, I have to deal with over more than 200 networks. So in that context, if I'm always the one who's having to reach out and say, we need to get these things upgraded, if I'm always the one who's pushing and saying, hey, the governmental standards have changed, payment card industry standards changed, Google standards changed, Microsoft standards changed, what are we doing about upgrading things? Let's get TLS compliant here. Let's get GCM compliant. If it's always me who's reaching out and no one else is ever reaching out in order to get these things updated and modified, what story does that tell you? I think that story, what it tells me is that I feel like other than the really big technology companies like Google, WatchGuard, and Microsoft, I wonder who else is watching the helm other than QPC. Because I'm not getting reached out to by any of these other providers that we have to have cooperative interoperability with in order to proactively address these issues. And it's not the clientele's job to say, oh, you know, yeah, I heard about this GCM cipher. Oh, baloney. Nobody's going to hear about the GCM cipher. Unless you're tapped into the security information, you're not going to ever hear anything about the DoD changing requirements stating that the GCM cipher is the only one that you should be using nowadays. So anyways, it's frustrating. I'm particularly frustrated by it because we put so much effort into ensuring and maintaining the security levels of our clientele. We really do genuinely care about that. We take such a proactive approach to it. And then we end up hitting these roadblocks entirely too frequently, having to maintain interoperability with all of these various providers and, you know, other consulting firms where we're doing, you know, VPN tunnels for various remote access for things. It's just disturbing how frequently it is that we get pushback from people that says, well, why do you need to have TLS 1.1 minimum requirements? And it's like, oh my gosh. So do you just completely discount what the National Institutes of Standards and Technology has said over 4 years ago? At what point? I mean, if you didn't upgrade it over the last 4 years, when are you going to do it? I mean, good grief. So hopefully that's been at least entertaining for you and give you some sort of an insight as to what goes on the inner workings of the IT security community and how it impacts you as an end user, because there are those of us that want to continue to maintain systems in a secure way for you, but unfortunately, it's not something that I